Hello and welcome back to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Eldon, and today I'm joined by Sud as usual. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, yeah. Very good. Good different cast today.
Yeah, we have, because we're not joined by Perks as usually. Yeah, we're not joined by Perks today. We're actually joined by Matty and Ted. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, I'm okay. Self-isolating, but getting there.
Getting where?
Where are you getting?
Getting to sanity, well, getting used to it. But then again, I'm self-employed, so I should be technically used to it. But yeah, I prefer going to the co-working space. I don't like being holed up at home.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. But how are you doing, Matty?
He's a founding member, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, absolutely. It's been a while.
I am one of the founding fathers.
Yeah.
You are. Now you're back on the pod, unfortunately.
Self-isolation has torn the world apart, but it's brought us brothers back together.
Exactly.
It has, because we've got nothing else to do. So yeah, we're going to jump into the first topic of the day, and that is the PS5 reveal event, which saw lead system architect Mark Cerny present the future of PlayStation, honing on the specifications and explaining how the console will impact the future of gamers we know it. I don't know if you guys managed to see any of this, but it was pretty dull.
Yeah, it was a thrilling 45 minutes that I'll never get back.
It was very dull.
It's probably asleep for like half of it. It was so boring. I mean, like, what a terrible way to reveal. Like, I understand. Apparently, it was for GDC, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people.
Which is obviously a more tech-based conference. So, but it's the way they said, didn't they, on their Twitter account? Oh, come and see the first glimpses appear. It's like, it's a bit of misinformation, really, isn't it? Because we didn't see anything really. We just heard tech jargon.
I mean, it's crazy. The bottom line on that note is this: like, PlayStation fans have been waiting for literally months for any snippet of news, and Sony should have just had the common sense to say, this isn't what we should give them. You know what I mean? As the first thing to give them, you should be giving them the games and what the console looks like and the controller. Like, this was something for the hardcore fans, and I think the problem was it was just miscommunication from Sony completely, where a lot of the fans for some reason thought they were actually getting a PS5 reveal.
Yeah.
And obviously it wasn't that. It was a hardware reveal and a pretty lackluster one at that. I think they're kind of embarrassed, really. But we'll get on to that.
So. Yeah. We'll touch on the specs in a sec. I just want to know, I wonder why they've taken so long to actually reveal the PlayStation itself, the PS5 itself.
Because Xbox revealed, well, pretty early, I guess. I mean, they revealed, was it the Game Awards in December? So we're talking 4 months between the Xbox being revealed and these. I mean, it hasn't even been revealed, the PS5, really. It's just the specs. So, you know, the Xbox has actually been revealed properly. So we still haven't seen the console, what it looks like. We don't know the price of any of them, but I don't know. It was just a weird way of doing it. Like Mike said, it's just not the way to do it, really, is it? It's not. It doesn't. If anything, I think PlayStation fans went away more annoyed than they were before. To be honest with you,
I did see a lot of people who weren't happy. But then again, I did see some people who kept saying it. Oh well, it's for the GDC, so
But
they did market it a little bit like it was a reveal.
They said
event.
It as if it was going to be like a proper So showcase. That's on them, really, isn't it? I mean, their marketing, to be honest, in the last year or two has been... it's just not been as good as it was early in the generation. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's to do with leadership changes or something at the top, but...
I don't think it's leadership changes. I think it's simple. I think they've been coasting for the last 2.5 years, and they're still coasting.
We've seen it before, haven't we? PS2 to PS3, so...
Well, you think
I hope it's not that,
they're
but...
back in that sort of...
Well, I hope it isn't that, but the signs are not good at the minute. I mean... You know, as much as we've criticised Xbox in the past, one thing they've done very well, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, is marketing, but just the message that, you know, they send these days, it's more of one of confidence than actually one of, we actually have, like, things you know, to sort of look forward to in the future, not just in the past. Whereas in the past, it was like, oh, we're going to give you these like couple of exclusives that are pretty crap, basically.
Yeah.
And you have to be happy with them. But it seems like they're going in the right direction now. I mean, but yeah, PlayStation, I don't know what's going on with them at the minute. They're just, their messaging's off. The silence as well. They've just been silent for like a year, pretty much.
Yeah, we haven't heard much.
We've not heard anything about any. We've not heard anything about next gen games. So
banking all the cash, they've been doing it for the last 2 years. They know PS4's still selling. They know that they've got like a great handful of exclusives that are coming out over the next year that are all going to sell really well. Yeah. So they've just been coasting. And the thing is with that, that's great. But I think people expected more from the PS5 because they've been coasted for 2 years. You know, they were like, "Well, show us something."
I think they're going complacent.
Maybe
feels like that. Complacent. I mean, yeah, it does feel like that, and it does kind of give comparisons to the Xbox One reveal, the way they were before that came out. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be as bad as that. They'd have to go some way, wouldn't they, for it to be as bad as the Xbox One reveal? But you know, it's not like it's looking like, you know, God, it could be awful. They could be making some mistakes, and we'll see. Obviously, we don't even know what the console looks like yet. So
no,
I mean,
that's true.
It's early days still, but.
I imagine it'll look half decent. I tend to think most of the PlayStation consoles have.
Yeah, there's them weird like V shaped designs that look awful. I mean, if it looks
that
like
can't
that,
be it. Surely that,
if
can't
that's
be
it, that's awful. I mean, it's just a it looks awful. That, like V shaped, it's weird.
It almost looks like a big controller, doesn't it? It's just
it's strange.
Yeah, it's really ugly.
I hope that's not it, because that. I know people say that's a ridiculous reason to not buy a console, but I actually think a lot of people wouldn't buy it if it looked like that.
That console to me looks like something off like Red Dwarf when they predicted the future.
Yeah, yeah, it actually does. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a niche reference, but
not many people will get that.
Yeah. No American don't know what Red Dwarf is.
They won't get that.
No, they won't. But yeah, we should probably touch on the specs though. I probably should hand it over to Mai, do my best Boris impression, hand it over to Mai because he's the spec guy. Well, knows more about it than me.
It's one of them, isn't it? We've known that the Xbox was, you know, around the 12 teraflop mark for quite a while, and then there's been rumors that PlayStation was going to be 9 teraflops, and then there's been rumors that it's going to be 13, somewhere in the middle at like, you know, 10 teraflops. But I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think Sony were kind of not wanting to announce the specs, almost, because I think they've been shocked with how powerful the Series X is. And I think they thought probably 12 months ago that they were going to win this like power war or whatever you want to call it again. Mm-hmm. And there are some elements, like, don't get me wrong, the Series X and the PS5 are very powerful systems.
Yeah.
Both of them are extremely powerful. They're not going to be cheap. I can imagine the Series X probably running at somewhere £500 plus, and the PS4, the PS5. Sorry, I can't see it being any less than £400. So they're both expensive, powerful consoles, which we expected. I think the main difference between them both is the SSD. Like the SSD in the PS5 is slightly faster. But I honestly don't know if that's going to make any difference, to be perfectly honest.
Well, on like the PowerPoint as well, the problem is that a lot of developers, they have to a lot of games are obviously multi-platform. So even if the Xbox is more powerful, they're going to have to find a compromise anyway. They can't, you know, they can't produce a game that is like at the max capacity that would run, you know, at Xbox's max capacity, because then it wouldn't be able to run well on a PS5. So it's almost they have to factor that in. So almost it's almost a bad thing that there's a bit of difference, I think, because it means obviously that there's going to be a very minimal games that will be able to get to Xbox's processing power due to that.
Well, that always happens, doesn't it? It's always the exclusives that utilize the console the best. Because they don't have to compromise for other consoles or PC. Sometimes PC either. So I think you'll see that again. You'll see that the best looking games on PlayStation 5 will be their exclusives. Yeah. Just like probably the best looking games on Xbox will be their exclusives, because you're right about the compromise. There's always a compromise when you have to do multi-platform. So it's weird with the PlayStation. They said it was like 10.2 teraflops, but that's actually when it's overclocked, isn't it? That's not actually, it's a variable rate, so a lot of the games will be like 9.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that rumor came from.
What I want to touch on,
12.
What I want to touch on, sorry to jump in there, so it is, these consoles are extremely powerful, and it's a lot of power condensed into a small unit, and you've seen in the Series X how much of a unit that is. It's strange. It's a new sort of design for a console, really. It's almost like two GameCubes stuck together.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah,
it is, actually.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot smaller than I thought it would be. Have you actually seen that comparison? I thought it was going to be way bigger than that. It's actually not that big.
We know from the Series X, from the Xbox One X, that Microsoft have got a very advanced cooling system to keep that system cool under load.
Probably prompted that development, I imagine.
but one thing I think objectively that people can say is, if they own a PS4 Pro, which I have, I know you are like certain as well, the PlayStation 4 is not a quiet console, and I hope Sony have got the right cooling solution in place, especially if they're going to overclock the console, because I have a feeling it could just end up sounding like a jet engine again.
It could, but I don't know if in that Mark Cerny, they really honed in on the cooling, didn't they? They really tried to like reassure people that they've actually focused a lot on the cooling this time around. Like, they've actually had that in mind now. That could be all conjecture. We don't know. It could be all, they always say all this, and then you'll get it day one and it'll be like a rocket engine. But I mean, you'd hope this time around both consoles have, you know, efficient cooling systems, and it's going to be hard with what's in the machine, but that's why they're going to be expensive at the end of the day. So I would expect, for a premium price, what they're going to cost, that cooling shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But you just never know, do you, until you get the console in your hand.
Was anyone actually that surprised that it looks like the Xbox X Series X is going to be more powerful?
No, not really.
Gone back to their roots. They've been on this path since, basically, you know, for the last 4 years, essentially. Mm. You know, they knew how much this power mantra hurt them in the Xbox One original days, and they didn't want that same mistake. They have made it clear now that they are going to be the world's most powerful console, and I imagine they'll probably use that tagline for the Series X as well, now that they know that it's confirmed. But it's one of them. They're both very powerful systems. I think the thing to take away for most people is that these are going to run amazing looking games at 4K at 60 frames a second, and the load times are going to be non-existent.
Ridiculous,
this is a massive upgrade from the last generation of consoles, and I think now it has to fall on the games, and that's where Xbox have been lacking, and they've bought all these studios, but we need to see what they're making now. You know, no one's going to buy a Series X, no one's going to convert from being a PlayStation 4 player to being a Series X player because of Gears of War 6 or Forza, whatever it is.
True.
You know, they need to see new innovative games, and we've seen Hellblade. That's a good start, but there needs to be more. And I think this Microsoft event in the summer is going to be absolutely key for them, you know, in terms of selling this console, because they need to prove to the world that they've actually got games on their system that are worth playing.
Yeah,
that's where they lost it gen that we're currently in, isn't it? I mean, they got absolutely decimated.
It was night and day, to be honest. I mean, you know, both the PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch is exclusives compared to Xbox. It's a bit embarrassing for Xbox, to be honest with you, but...
Did you not enjoy Sea of Thieves, lads?
Sea of Piss, what a game. One of the best exclusives ever. But I think the interesting thing for me on the whole power, I guess it's like power versus speed, people are saying, because of the SSD, which I think Marty's right. I don't think, either way, I don't think it's going to make a difference either way too much.
Well, either way, what are the plans with sort of like the updates? Are they still, because one of the most frustrating things I encounter is obviously the amount of times you just have to continually update games. And I feel that just needs to go in my, then it needs to be a better way to do that, because it's frustrating for, you know, obviously when I was younger, I used to log on after school or college, turn on my Xbox, and I could just play straight away. Whereas now I'm working all day and I might log in like twice a week or something. So it's almost not a 2 gigabyte.
You're logging more now, lad.
Whatever.
Self-isolation.
A lot of that's going to be internet speed, which I guess that's just based on your own preference. But I think the new consoles will help a little bit with that. Just if they're faster anyway, if the hard drives are faster, operating faster, then that will help a little bit. But it is going to be mainly still your internet speed, just because that's...
Yeah, I think the problem is, touching on that, Ted, is that internet speeds haven't caught up with hardware, and that's a big problem. I agree with you, it is still an issue, you know, and it's not going to be fixed next gen. I can categorically say that, you know, if you're downloading a game, it's probably only going to get worse because the file size is
bigger.
You know, so unfortunately, that's just something that you're pretty much stuck with.
That's one thing I've seen about this one. Sorry, sir. There's the internal hard drive. Isn't the PS5 quite low, isn't it?
Well, it said it was 825 gigabyte, the solid state drive, and the Xbox was 1 terabyte. But the only thing I would caution with that is the Xbox could be doing that trick where it's like, yeah, it's a terabyte, but then you actually put it in and it's like 750.
Mm.
So I don't know whether that's a thing or not. Like, have PlayStation already accounted for that? Have they not? We don't know until we get...
I've got to be perfectly honest with that. I'm impressed with the storage on both. And I know that sounds stupid because of, you know, they're a relatively low size. But SSD, I didn't expect the entire majority of the storage to be SSD. Yeah, I expected it to be maybe 128 gig SSD reserved for the operating system and the game that you're currently playing. And then I expected the rest of the storage to still be via a mechanical drive. The fact that the whole storage, you know, the whole system storage is SSD is impressive. You know, if you try and buy a terabyte SSD that, you know, at the sort of speeds that are in these consoles, they're still over £100. Yeah, so
a lot of money.
You know, they're not a cheap part.
The thing is as well with that is one interesting point about them SSD things, I don't know if you saw that on Xbox you're gonna have to buy a proprietary one if you wanna extend your memory, which I found strange. I don't know why they did go down that route.
With PlayStation, I imagine.
Well, apparently the PlayStation one, they said that not at launch, like at launch you won't be able to, but in like a few months after launch, they are going to do it so you can buy like anyone that you want. But
what it is,
it's a money making scheme, then, isn't it? Obviously.
No. Honestly, what it is, because I want to try and get like the correct clarification on this, is you can still use any hard drive on an Xbox.
Yeah, that is true.
You can plug in your old 2 terabyte hard drive if you want. But it won't obviously have the benefits of the SSD. Your load times will still be slow. Mm. And I think like Xbox One Series X exclusive games won't run off that old SSD, but off the old hard drive, sorry. But all your old games will. Mm. And I think that's a key point to touch on as well. I think it's kind of underestimated backwards compatibility. PS5 hasn't really been clear.
Disappointing, I thought it was.
Yeah, that games, was a big disappointment.
PS4 games.
Very disappointing.
Launch. That's terrible.
They didn't even say all. They said most of those are like top 100 games. Like, to me, that's worrying. I'm a little bit worried about the messaging there. That makes me think there's going to be like, I mean, because what does most mean? Does most mean 60 of the 100 games or 80, 90? We don't know. So
they not learn
yet? It's strange.
What's quite odd is that obviously a lot, as we've seen this generation of consoles, that Game Pass has been pushed, obviously, on the Xbox and obviously the equivalent on the PlayStation massively, which means that all you have to do is log into Game Pass, download last gen's games that are available and put them on. Like, why would it be so hard to just ensure that's in place for the next generation? I really don't get it. It's all online, isn't it?
Physical discs, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think
PlayStation it is, anyway.
I think Xbox's message for the last 2 years has been extremely clear. Yeah. Going forward, every Xbox that comes out, you will be taking your games library with you, and the Series X continues that. You can play Xbox One games, you can play 360 games, you can play original Xbox games, and you can play Series X games, and that's a really attractive proposition for people.
I agree.
I think PlayStation are really missing the ball, because going forward as an industry, people are going to want to take their libraries with them. If you've got a digital library, you're not going to want that digital library to just disappear when you upgrade consoles. You want it to come with you. And I think PlayStation 5 not being clear on backwards compatibility and not being clear on how they're progressing with that matter going forward is a worry to people.
This could be rubbish, and it could be, by the time it comes out, it could be absolute nonsense, but there was also a rumor going around that there's still a rumor that the PS4 disc might not work. It might just be digital, which I think would be Atrocious.
Why are they doing that?
Absolutely ridiculous. Because how many people collect like PS4 games and have physical games? Like, look, that might not definitely happen. It's not 100% confirmed. But I guess we'll see. I mean, it would be terrible if that was, because how many people actually, you know, I know people say digital is growing and it is, but there's still loads of people with physical PS4 games.
I honestly think that would be a massive misstep.
I think that would be awful.
They shouldn't be doing stuff like that.
I think that would be absolutely awful.
Yep. But yeah. I suppose, yeah, I mean, it'll just come down to obviously how much it's going to cost them to do that. I can't see the cost of why. I mean, it's probably just a matter of priority, isn't it? Like, they've probably got a set list of like gate of last generation games that get played. And yeah, if you think about from their perspective, you know, there's hundreds of titles that are being released that might only get downloaded like 10 times a month. You know, it's the long tail effect. So there's probably a cost versus reward ratio where they're thinking, well, are we going to put the effort in to make this backwards compatible when it gets downloaded 10 times a month?
So, it could also be, you know, as well, just one point as well. It could also be that Microsoft's engineers are just better than Sony's and they just have a grasp of it in a better way than Sony. Because I can't see Sony purposely doing that. I just can't. Like, why would they do that? They'd want it to be as good as possible.
Make no mistake. The emulator that allows 360 and original Xbox backwards compatibility is an absolute marvel of achievement.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they even got that to work in the first place was nothing short of a miracle. So the fact that they managed to make that work so well is incredible. And I understand that it's more difficult to make a similar emulator for PS3 games because it was using the cell architecture. But regardless, like, I don't think Sony have ever made the effort because, like Ted said, it isn't worth the money to them. And I think that's important to people. I want to know that the company that I'm, you know, investing my time and money in actually cares about me as a consumer. And I get it. PlayStation is a strong, brilliant brand with amazing games. You know, I absolutely love Spider-Man, God of War, some of the best games I've played this generation. And I'm sure you'll probably all agree. But it does feel like Sony are getting lackadaisical and just like they were at the end of the PS2. We're the kings, we're the dons. No matter what we do, people are going to lap it up and no one cares. And I don't like that. I don't like that element about them. It always seems to come back. As soon as they start doing well again, they always start to just seem to coast and not care about the consumers. And
strange.
I think that's not right.
I think
they've been making pro-consumer moves for the last 2 to 3 years with Game Pass, with backwards compatibility. None of these things make massive money for them, but they make the Xbox gamers, the Xbox community happy. And that's something that just seems to be completely neglected by PlayStation. I mean, PlayStation, no one talks about the fact like they just put PlayStation Plus up, you know, by £10 randomly, and no one seemed to care. Xbox Live wasn't put up.
Has it been still not put up? I don't know. I can't remember anymore, maybe. But
you just come to PlayStation my bank.
Did put it up
I don't
first,
even know.
Didn't they? They did. They definitely, PlayStation did put it up first. I know there was a lot of complaints about that. I'm not sure if Xbox have followed or not, but yeah, I think for me though, the problem Xbox is still going to have is the fact that there's 110 million, is it, PS4s out in the wild now.
Is it Pokemon?
That is a massive user base. Well, yeah,
you have to catch them all, lad.
They're in the wild. So,
well, you know, you'll be able to spot them a mile off because they're all so loud.
Exactly.
Get anything in the background.
Well, 110 million PS4s sold. So, you know, what I mean, compared to the recent rumor was around 45 million Xbox One. So that is a big difference.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here.
Market
and, like,
shares.
Not going to sit here and fan. The reason for that is because Xbox One at the beginning of the generation probably scored the biggest own goal in the history of the world.
Still so bad.
I still think Xbox still have a lot to prove software wise. It's all well and good. Look, I know we're all saying that they're doing great, and they are doing great things in terms of services. They're doing great things in terms of their recent efforts with hardware. But the software is still nowhere near the level that Sony's is, and that is massive.
I think Xbox have been acquiring studios for the last couple of years. There's a lot of games in the background that we don't know about, and I think the next like year or so is going to be absolutely key for them as to proving again we're a software company that can make great AAA games, not AA games, not rehashes of the same garbage over and over again. Great AAA games. And I think, like I said, the next year or two is going to be absolutely crucial in proving that to people.
I think the problem I have is, though, is as good as some of the, you know, like Ninja Theory's and Good Studio and stuff like that, they're not on the level of Guerrilla or Naughty Dog. You know, I just...
They're not.
I get what you mean. They could be in time. I agree with you. Like, Ninja Theory in time could be a fantastic studio.
But that's the thing. This isn't Ninja Theory anymore. This is Ninja Theory backed by the biggest company in the world, pretty much. You know, behind... I'm pretty sure they're still behind Apple, but you know what I mean. They've got massive financial backing to make the games that they want. And I think that's something that's really underappreciated. Like, these companies that... maybe we're okay and maybe made a few great games in the past have now got the financial clout of Microsoft behind them, and from what I understand, they've made it sound like they're just going to let them make the games that they want, and if that is true, they're going to make great games. Like, there's no doubt.
I think Microsoft have made the right moves, but we need to give them time to see how it all plays out. At the end of the day, like you said, Sud, we have to wait to see what their software is like. However, they have made the right moves, which is, I mean, like you mentioned, Maya, the start of this generation, Jesus Christ, that was the biggest own goal. We were all Xbox guys, weren't we? And I think it's fair to say sudden Matty wanted to switch over to PS4 after that.
So going on that point, though, I think that's a good point. I think obviously with that conference, that was, as you said, a massive own goal, and that really, really annoyed a lot of it annoyed me as well. I mean, you know, even just looking at that, the stuff they were coming out with just was just ridiculous. So far from the audience, it was unbelievable. It's like, you know, you're actually talking to gamers here. Do you actually understand your audience? They don't want that. But on sort of going back to sort of the specs point as well, and the exclusive games, I think you're absolutely bang on there about obviously talking about Microsoft stepping their game up and buying up these studios. Because, all right, we can look at the specs and we can compare it next to each other, you know, column by column, but let's face it, like, that's 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, that's not going to be enough to sway someone to go out and buy the console, is it? If you're a PS5 gamer, you're not going to go, oh, Xbox has got more teraflops, or Xbox is going to be faster, I'm going to totally swap everything and get an Xbox. Because what you've got here is you've got obviously something that they call in like the business community as well in startups. It's called the network of effects. It's like if you've got a big user base that's got all their friends on the console, you're going to need a lot more than that to switch people over. Like, I think the only people that are going to be swayed by these specs are, you know, single player gamers that don't go online, hardcore single player gamers that maybe don't have a lot of sort of friends on one particular console. Maybe they're more PC or they're just spread out, but they might look at the Xbox specs and say, okay, they've got great specs. And then if they see the game exclusive games list come out with, you know, taking advantage of those specs, then I think they'll get people swapping over to the new console.
Yeah, and you also need Sony to do, like you were touching on, Ted, like a similar mistake to Xbox and be like, you know, we're a gaming console, but do you want to watch TV? Because don't worry about the games. Here you go. Let's go and watch some TV. Look, you can switch between sports and news.
I think there's more chance of pigs flying than Sony. Yeah, I think there's more chance of pigs flying than Sony going down the TV route.
That will not happen. But
I think what worries me for Xbox the most is, though, like, they can do all these great things, and I think a lot of what Xbox has done this generation has gone unnoticed. Like, I think if Sony had done them, they'd have got a lot more credit.
I agree.
But my worry is that no matter what Xbox do, we talk about Sony maybe being on the back foot at the minute, but what does Sony all have to do? Drop a trailer for Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Drop a trailer for Horizon 2. Drop a trailer for God of War 2. Drop a trailer for the next Uncharted. And it's like...
I agree, mate. They are massive system pullers. Yeah. But if you actually look at the numbers, they're still not that... Like, they're not that important. I honestly don't think I know everyone wants.
No, not compared to the Call of Duties and FIFAs. I agree.
Still, the majority of games that sell on each platform are multiplats.
And it's funny because all those games still sell nowhere near what some of like Pokemon sells, for example. Like night and day. Like this is what I mean about like all these games like Spider-Man, everyone loves, and they sell tons of copies. And you've got games like Pokemon doubling, tripling their sales, and it's like it's ridiculous, really.
Has any of this swayed you guys?
Sorry, go on, mate.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to ask: any of this swayed you guys? As in, were you ever on the fence? Which way you're going to lean to? What console you're going to buy first? Because I'm going to assume that most of us will end up with both at some point. But obviously,
yeah, exactly.
Which one
I was just going to touch on that. Essentially, that
always happens.
I mean, it's pretty obvious from my tone in this podcast that I'm weighing towards the Series X, and I probably will get the Series X because I've literally got a library of probably over 1,000 games accrued on the Xbox over time and physical media, so it makes sense for me to get that as the first console. Mm-hmm. Will I get PS5? Of course. I want God of War 2, I want Spider-Man 2, I want Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the Series X is probably the one I'm going to get, just because personally I will, obviously I've got that legacy of games, but also I'd rather have the more powerful console for multiplats as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you already know what my answer is going to be. I think I've said it a few times. It's going to be PS5 for me for one reason mainly, and games, but not just, that's actually two, I'd say two reasons actually. Games is the first one, but the second one for me is because I have an Xbox One X and I have a normal PS4, so it makes more sense for me to get the PS5 first, because I understand that for the first 12 months I will be able to play, Halo Infinite and whatever else they have in the first year. After that, I'd have to reconsider and maybe get a Series X 12 months down the line or 2 years down the line. But
yeah, you don't need it as instantly, do you? To be fair.
No, not really. Because, look, don't get me wrong, if I was playing Halo Infinite and you use a lot of loading in 2 seconds and I'm loading in 10, it'd be annoying, obviously, but it's not the end of the world.
Mate, it happens with me now. Whenever we play a game, like, so I've got the OG Xbox One.
Yeah.
And then you're like jumping on the plane, and I'm like, it's not even loaded for me yet, lads.
I'll know how you feel then.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know what? I can absolutely guarantee, mate, no matter what console we've got, no matter how fast the SSD is, as soon as you load into a game of PUBG, the textures won't have loaded by the time you hit the floor.
No, probably not.
I hope we aren't playing PUBG on the new console.
Yeah, it'd be desperate times if we were playing PUBG on PS5 or Series X. It'd be very desperate.
Those textures would not load.
I think that's the thing as well. I think with the new consoles, I think people are going to start looking to upgrade their TVs as well, because that's what I'll probably be looking to do. Because I remember for the Xbox One, I got a new sort of HD TV.
Yeah.
I'll probably get a 4K when the new...
I think if you don't have a 4K TV now for these new consoles, there's no point in getting a new console.
Yeah.
You're wasting money. There's pointless.
Definitely.
You're not going to see any benefit from a normal HD TV. You have to have 4K now.
But I'm interested to ask Ted, if someone give you £500 in your hand and said you had to buy one of the consoles, which one would you buy at this point in time? Because, you're not as, not as hardcore a gamer really at the moment as us.
Yeah,
because the time that you've got to play.
Well, you know what? I think it comes down to the fact that I would say I've got more of my friends on Xbox, which obviously plays a factor. I have sort of had a few people peck in my head telling me I should get a PlayStation, but it hasn't really been enough to sway me. So for me, I'll probably be looking to stay loyal, so to speak, and get an Xbox Series X. And I think what I was planning to do, although it hasn't materialized this year because I've ended up getting a Switch instead, what I was planning on doing was actually getting a PS4 and just going and playing the exclusives, because I think that's where I've missed out, really. I haven't... Obviously, you guys are talking quite fondly of Spider-Man and God of War.
There's so many good... Yeah,
honestly, I just feel, I've missed out. I feel a little bit there, and that's something that does definitely peck at my head a little bit.
Even on me. Even with the PS4, though, even if you're talking about, I don't think you had a PS3 at all, did you, Ted? So,
you
might have played it a little bit, but
a little bit, but not too much. No,
you've missed out on like the Uncharted trilogy and Last of Us. And he's like Perks. For PS3 games, which are amazing.
He's like Perks. Look, all those games he could play, man. We talked about this the other day. With
we said, like, Horizon and Spider-Man and God of War. And
Ted,
like,
you got so... I mean, it would have been perfect right now with self-isolation, to be honest, if you had it.
Well, that's the problem as well, because I feel like, obviously, as graphics get better on games, I mean, I could go back to Uncharted now. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure the graphics are great, but it's not going to give me that same, like, wow experience, is it? As if, you know, I actually did get the two consoles at the same time. And yeah, it is a bit frustrating for me, because I just, the only problem is spending £400-£500 on a PS5 as well going to justify using it just for the exclusives? What I'll probably end up doing is getting a PlayStation 4, funnily enough, and then maybe just,
because it'll be cheap as well.
It'll be cheap, and be very cheap. Play the exclusives, and then I can justify it then. So
makes sense. To be fair.
But I don't think there's going to be anything on the PS5 that'll completely sway me. But on these new generation consoles as well, I think, you know, obviously the multi sort of the platforming is going to come into play with these online games like, you know, Fortnite and things like that as well. So maybe the switching, less people are going to be switching anyway, because
crossplay, of course.
So, you know, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Horrible playing PC players though, mate.
Oh, that's the worst thing about crossplay right now. I mean, we're talking about, well, I don't know if you've played it, Ted, but I know you've played a bit as well, haven't you, mate? Like Warzone. Like the PC crossplay stuff on that is just horrendous.
Well,
it's really horrendous.
Keyboard and the first person shooter are always going to have a just massive advantage. And just I think there needs to be some sort of algorithm to make it so that it knows what you're playing with, whether you're playing with a controller or whether you're playing with mouse and keyboard. But I think that's very hard to implement. So it's going to be interesting to see how developers combat that in the future, because obviously the competitive scene, it's not conducive to fair and good competitive gameplay if you've got, you know, one team playing with controllers and the other team playing with mouse and keyboard, because literally 99% of the time mouse and keyboard players are going to win. So you've got a massive disadvantage there, and hopefully they manage to sort it out so that matchmaking automatically filters that out for you.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, Luke, what you haven't said, I guess you're still on the fence a bit with what console. You're not 50-50 at the minute.
Yeah,
still.
A little bit. Because has there been mentioned yet if the PS4 Pro will be able to play any of the...
It's like, it's up in the air, that, isn't it? Because
I would say definitely not. If you're going to say
you wouldn't think so, but well, they said some would, didn't they? They said there would be the odd game that might but
well, this is my biggest problem. I'm not in the same boat as you guys, as in, like, you've got an Xbox One X. I don't. I've got the OG Xbox. I've got a PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
So my decision is going to be basically between the two, split down the middle. To be honest, we spoke a few weeks ago, didn't we, Sud, with Perks, and I said I think I was leaning more towards PlayStation, but it depends.
Would price make a difference to you at all? Like,
no,
not? We'd not be that bothered with it, because they're both going to be similar prices. You wouldn't imagine one's going to be like £200 more or something. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah,
so.
if it's taking the piss, then price will matter to me. Yeah. But obviously,
like,
if 50
it's like quid, it's not going to make a difference.
50 quid, 100 quid, maybe. No, at the moment.
But surely, looking at the specs, you would expect Xbox to be slightly more expensive.
Oh yeah, it has to. I think that's definite. I don't think there's any way the Xbox can be the same price as the PlayStation. I think even Mark Cerny in that talk even said, like, the console's been designed with price in mind, which basically says they've compromised a little bit, basically.
Yeah.
To try and get
an absolute bombshell, though, from Xbox if it was the same price.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'd have to be a massive loss. Yeah, that is the only thing. Microsoft could afford to do it, but it's just, will they do it? That's the thing.
Yeah. See, I'm unsure.
We'll
I'm unsure. It was the same with the last gen. It will probably matter on what you guys buy, ultimately, because I tend to play most of the time online multiplayer games with you guys, so that's probably where my first decision will lie.
Do you think the lineup for games at the start would make a big difference to you, Eld? I'm just thinking in terms of, say, they did, a big surprise, Spider-Man 2 at launch, or Horizon Zero Dawn 2 at launch. Would you think that would actually persuade you?
Yeah, probably.
I'm wondering if that would persuade quite a lot of people.
Because obviously the Xbox is like a year, isn't it, before exclusives, like actual Xbox
Yeah, 12 to 18 months they said, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I mean, Halo Infinite is going to be a big game at launch for them, no doubt about that. I mean, that's going to the Game Pass records are going to be shattered with Halo Infinite because there's going to be so many people playing that at launch. But in terms of like sales, like it would make sense, wouldn't it, for Sony just to go like put Spider-Man 2? I mean, I don't know if they could do it, but if they could get it ready in time, putting Spider-Man 2 at launch would be massive.
I would say it's a guarantee at this point that either Spider-Man 2, God of War, or Horizon sequel will be a launch.
At least one of them, yeah.
Oh, by the way, you've just reminded me that I did see a rumor that Spider-Man is actually set for 2021, and it's going to have Venom and Carnage in it.
So, it was on IGN, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was IGN.
So that would make sense with the time frame. 2020, maybe like a summer 2021 game, maybe autumn 2021 game.
Well, actually, you know what? You know what I've just said? I just mentioned that, and I thought, well, that might not be a release game now, was that? But with everything that's going on in the world with the pandemic, it might become a release game, because if they push or delay the PS5 coming out,
If it's delayed to like April or May or something,
Well, it's one of them, isn't it? It's like, if I was them, I'd be rushing to get the consoles out because at the minute, the stats are saying that gaming is through the roof because everyone's self-isolating. So
how would you buy it, though, if there's like a ban on flights and stuff? Would they be able to do that? How would they?
It's more the production, isn't it? I think it's the problem they have at the minute is the
China
components, and the production in China, because they're both made in China.
Yeah.
And it's also the thing of, who's ahead in the supply chain? Because obviously there's an order, isn't there?
Mm.
You'll probably know about this, Ted. There's an order in terms of some businesses get ahead of others, have priority. And it's going to happen. There's going to be priority, isn't there? When it all kicks off again in China, some companies are going to be ahead of others in the production line.
Well, I think the issue will be if a certain factor, because obviously they're going to be sourcing their parts from different factories.
Yeah.
It's whether there's certain parts that have been massively hit and there's a shortfall because of it. Whether, you know, PS5 has a certain part that's not, you know, it could affect the supply chain massively in that sense and delay it. So, but I actually, that's not good for them.
My prediction is that I actually think both of them will still come out in November, but I think there's going to be a big caveat. I do think there's going to be a lot of, I don't think there's going to be many consoles to buy, if you know what I mean. I think it's going to be supply constraint.
Mm.
There's going to be a lot of supply constraint. I think if you want to get that console at launch, you're going to have to pre-order it early. I think there's going to be a shortage at launch, definitely.
Yeah, well, if you think about 100%. It, obviously Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and November, December, a lot of retailers, that accounts for 50% of their revenue for the whole year, and that applies
to, obviously, get them out as well.
You know, that's going to apply.
They want to sell the software, they want to sell the games around the console and the subscriptions, and that's what people buy over the holiday season, don't they? It's like gifts. So
I think you are right, that they're more likely to go launch October, November, at the risk of obviously there being a shortfall in supply.
Well, it creates like a fake demand as well, which is
and due to that, it will also create demand potentially. Mm. So, I think they're more likely to do that than push it back when they've got more ready to go.
The only problem is that we don't know. We're in unprecedented times, aren't we? We don't know what will happen with this virus. That it might. They might be forced to push back, because we had similar chat, didn't we? So yesterday about the football.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Like, we all assume that around Christmas time things will be starting to come back to normal or normality, but we don't actually know.
No,
for
we don't
certain,
know. We don't know. Definitely not.
Which is horrible.
Look, I wouldn't be shocked either way. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it did get delayed, but I just have this sneaky feeling that they are going to launch in November.
Oh, mate,
they'll both launch in November.
If there's a sliver of hope that they can, they will. Money dictates,
exactly.
Isn't it? So
it just makes more sense. I mean, you know, you're going to be more successful launching before Christmas than after. I mean,
just from obviously, you know, videos that have gone out, marketing material, etc., I'd probably say that the Xbox is a lot closer to full release than the PlayStation 5, just on the fact that, you know, Digital Foundry just the other week basically got full production retail units, you know, that they could have a look at. So, you know, that would indicate to me that they're very close to this being mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't already in the process of being mass produced already.
That is very true. And I mean, that would be a massive advantage. If there was a way in which Xbox could come out 5-6 months before PlayStation, I mean, just in terms, it doesn't even matter if there's no great games at launch for Xbox, because it just the fact that it comes out early would persuade some people to buy it early.
Oh, 100%, mate. A new shiny thing. So, new shiny thing. I want it.
Look, long term, like. I don't think it'd make much difference. I'm still going to assume PS5. I think we can all pretty much say that PS5 is probably going to be the best selling console of the generation. I don't think that's really up for debate, to be honest. I think that's pretty obvious.
It's about seeing how much ground,
how much ground they can gain. And, you know, of course, it's not even just about hardware sales anymore, is it? It's about subscriptions, it's about software sales. That's what matters more now, even, to be honest, than hardware sales. Hardware sales are kind of going the way of the dodo a little bit in terms of, I'm not saying they're not important at all, obviously, but they're not going to be as important this generation. Most of the money made is going to be off subscriptions and games sold, so.
Yeah, and
interesting to see.
It really will be interesting to see, and that brings the end to the podcast. So wraps that up nicely, and let us know your thoughts in the comments below. What console are you going to buy on launch when it comes out? Are you swayed by any of these specs? And also let us know on social media. That's where you can find the podcast, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at ChetReachPod. And I want to say thanks for joining me as ever, guys. But obviously, thanks to the newbies as well. So thanks, Sud, and thanks to Ted and Matty for joining.
No worries, mate.
Good.
Anytime.
You guys might appear more on this in the coming months, considering self-isolation.
They're all isolated.
Well, it goes to all the listeners as well. Stay safe. Enjoy some quality self-isolation time with some great games. And hopefully we'll all get through it.
Indeed.
Buy Doom, everyone. It's great. Buy Doom.
There's a plug for Doom. You're probably all bored, so definitely try it. And we do echo what Marty's just said. We hope you are staying safe and well in this tough time. But thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a normal show, as always. So we hope you have a good week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.